This is episode 235 on December 21st, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Dave Podner.
And I'm Greg McMillan.
And last but not least, I'm Matt Hoffman.
Welcome, gentlemen. How are you guys doing? Let's start with you, Dave.
I'm doing good this week. We welcomed a new addition to the family.
All right.
A 4-month-old Westie. West Highland Terrier. We named her Belle.
Nice.
So we're going to have lots of practice of trying to take a photo of a basically a white streaking blur. She's running around like crazy. including wrestling with the other dogs and luckily getting along fine with everybody. So that's always a good thing.
Nice.
And that was like over the weekend and like, okay, yeah, that's... She's enough of a hand of a home, as anyone with a puppy knows. That's all you get going when they first come home.
So that's five animals you have.
No, we're crazy. That's seven.
Okay.
yeah. That's three dogs and four cats.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I said we're crazy. Yeah.
No
human kids, but tons of furry ones.
That's quite all right. At least somebody has them. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing good, Joe. If I was doing any better, there'd be two of me.
Is that good?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I just finished my long 4-day stretch of 12-hour shifts.
So nice.
I get to have a nice week off now and looking forward to it. It's nice that it lands right, Christmas lands right in the middle of it.
Yes. So
we get to enjoy that and not have to worry about getting to work, and hopefully we won't get snowed in.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have to worry about that down here. It's in the 60s, but we can only wish.
Yeah.
Matt, how are you doing?
Oh, my goodness. If I was doing any better, there'd be like 10 of me. Life has been a blur lately, but like in a good way. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've been up to all kinds of stuff lately. I've been not as much iPhone photography as I would like, which is really unfortunate. Especially considering something that you're going to ask me about in a few minutes. I've been trying to do a little bit, and I've been running around Ohio and West Virginia and stuff, chasing snowy owls around, which has been pretty fun. I've been fortunate enough to see four of them in the last 2 weeks or so.
Nice.
Week and a half. So that's been pretty cool. And, not specifically iPhone related, but photography related. Tell you this story real quick. I had an interesting interaction with a publishing company here in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to name them or anything, but it's just a publishing company, and they publish a bunch of magazines that are kind of like Ohio specific and sort of like regional magazines, but they're very nice magazines, really high quality stuff. So in any case, this publishing company also does the Ohio Travel Guide, and someone from the publishing company reached out to me via Instagram asking me if they could have permission to use one of my pictures in the travel guide for next year. And they basically were telling me, you know, that I would get like a credit you know, my name or what my Instagram handle, and that it would be a great way for me to promote my Instagram and my photography business. Yes. So of course, you know, I kind of went into a tailspin over this message, because of just the way that I feel about, you know, companies wanting to pay photographers in credit. And to top it off, the person that asked me, I checked out their Instagram, and in their bio, they labeled themselves as a photographer. That sent me into even more of a rage.
Yeah.
Just very upset that a photographer would have the nerve to ask another photographer for a free picture. So I pretty much laid it all out in no uncertain terms back to that person, explaining exactly how I felt about them asking me for this. And surprisingly, they responded back and said that they were very sorry. They totally understood where I was coming from. And suddenly I'm being offered money for my photo.
Oh, very good.
So that kind of calmed me down a little bit, but I was still kind of like, you know, how shady are you? Like, why couldn't you just do that in the first place?
Yeah.
And so we kind of went back and forth, and then it turned out that this person was an intern. So their boss reached out to me, who's like the, I forget what her what the title was, art director or something for the publishing company. And, we had a couple email exchanges, and I got sent kind of like all their terms and their pricing as far as like what they pay for different, you know, different photos and how they're used, and dependent on if you are hired by them to do a certain shoot, or if they're just using your photo, like a stock photo, the whole nine yards, the whole breakdown, so that I would understand what they're doing. And, basically, so far that's led to me agreeing to let them use the photo.
Nice.
And it's also led to them asking if I would be willing to come and sit down with them and have a chat about me possibly doing more work for them.
Oh, very good.
Nice.
Yeah, I have a hard time sometimes when I see, oh yeah, we'll put your Instagram out there and people will start following you. It's like, yeah, that really doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah. I mean,
work either.
At first I was kind of like, I was conflicted a little bit, cause it was kind of like, I'm not doing anything with the pictures. So like, why not?
Right.
But then I started thinking like, you know what, this is a travel guide that they're asking to use the picture. And travel guides are loaded with advertisements. I mean, they're 90% advertisements. So if you're selling all these ads, you mean to tell me you don't have a budget for photography? I just don't buy that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I ran it by my wife, and my wife was basically like, you shouldn't give your photography away for free, especially not for that purpose. You know, it's different if it's like a nonprofit asking or you're volunteering or something like that. You know, so, and I even explained in my first response to this publishing company that I said, you know, you are far from a nonprofit.
Yeah. And well, so are you.
How many copies of this publication are going to be printed and distributed?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really know.
Because
that
would be interesting to know, because if it's going to be like 100,000, say, then as opposed to 10,000, you know, that could very well determine what kind of price you put on it.
You know, I mean, you know, this is something that, you know, when you stop at like a visitor center, or like a rest area along the highway or something, you know, you'd be able to pick it up.
Okay, like along the turnpike type thing.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, yeah, here's the thick bulk with all
some of these things that work too, like for local tourism. And I've never been approach to have a photo in. I do have a friend that has some photos put in, but I don't know if she gets paid or if she does, how much. But these things, you know, these press runs for this area, they might be, you know, 15,000-20,000 maybe. And that could be on the high side, maybe. I don't know. So, you know, I just think if it's a lot on a press run, like if there's going to be a lot of copies out in the wild, that's a lot of potential people looking at your photo. So that could, that could make for a little better price tag, I think.
It could, and I guess it would depend on the publishing company, but from what I've gathered, that's not exactly how publishing companies pay for content. The number of copies of a publication doesn't really factor into how they pay.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen that that business model, I guess you can call it, in stock photos. When you have a photo that gets licensed out by a stock company, I think the more views it's expected to have, the better you'll get, the better your take on it.
Hmm.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
I'll have to look into that because there's we're kind of diving into a whole other subject here that I didn't intend for us to, but. With stock photography, you have different types of licenses depending on how the photo is going to be used, but even that generally doesn't have anything to do with how many eyes are going to be on it, at least not directly anyway. That's not directly what's factored into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's complicated stuff, but in any case,
as long as you get your million, that's all that matters.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to sit down and talk with them and see where it goes, because there's definitely a few publications that they put out that I would be interested in shooting for if they were to give me an assignment. So it would basically allow me to spend a lot of time at the islands in Lake Erie, which is like right up my alley. So
yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
You're an experienced kayaker, traveler. You do all that type of stuff. They're like, all right, you're hired.
So, yeah, that's I guess that's been like the bulk of my excitement for the last couple weeks right there.
Well, very cool. Yeah, I haven't done a whole lot in photography. I was going to so I intended to take some pictures at our Christmas musical that we had at our church during, kind of like the dress rehearsal. But then I got roped into doing sound and wasn't able to, do that. But I've been taking photos here and there of, some sunsets. Lately, we've had some pretty nice clouds that would hover in the evenings, and so when the sun would just hit below the horizon, we get this brilliant orangish red. I really like it. And so what else did I do? I think that was it. But I'm looking forward to getting some reactions this in a few days, because it is almost Christmas times, hence the bells. Let's see if you can hear it. Oh, there they are.
And a little ambience in the background.
That's right. I turned it down. I can turn it up just a little bit. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, and also the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Has anyone seen The Last Jedi, and yes or no, did you like it? Since it seems like since that's a big deal.
I'm going tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep, I'm going to see it tomorrow.
I haven't seen it yet, but I hope to see it probably this weekend as well. And I can tell you that, yes, I'll like it.
Yeah.
Even if it stinks, I'll probably like it anyway.
That's right. Who cares? Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it, and I'll probably see it when it's available to rent.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go. I'm going to go this weekend, but and yeah, I've already read all the spoilers, so I.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm getting off work tomorrow early, and then we're gonna drop the kids off with Grandma and Grandpa, and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law are here, and so we're I think the four of us are gonna go and see it together. So, all right, well. Let's get into our focus point. We are, 4 days away from Christmas, and we're going to talk about some iPhones, and so let's play this.
Focus point.
All right. So one of us here on the podcast has a new iPhone. And he already hinted about it. So, Matt, did you get the iPhone 5C?
No, I did a little better than that.
Oh, okay. Tell us.
5S.
You got the 5S.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I found it at thrift store.
All jokes aside, you picked up the new iPhone 10.
I did. Yeah, I had to. It was.
You had to.
It was mandatory.
That's right. Yeah.
I called it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think he did. I think Greg said, you're going to go for the, you say you're going to go for the 8 Plus, but deep down, you're really going to go for the 10. And,
I think I kind of knew that I would, like I said many times before, I had to see it first. And, it was kind of like love at first sight. It really was. I did get the iPhone 10 space gray, 256 gigabyte.
Nice.
And so far, no regrets for the most part. I'm extremely happy with it. Like literally everything. Like everything, it doesn't even matter how stupid and mundane of an app I'm in. Everything is an absolute pleasure to look at on this phone.
Really,
the screen is amazing. Like the contrast ratio that whatever the contrast ratio is,
million to one.
Yeah, it's very evident. And it just makes everything pop and just look so stinking cool. So for that alone, it was worth it to me.
Nice.
So some of the other like major things, you know, with it is, it has Face ID, no home button. In like a nanosecond, I was used to not having a home button.
Huh.
Like I can't think of. There might have been like one time on the first day, which was like almost 2 weeks ago, that I tried to tap for a home button, but maybe one time I did that. And Face ID, in my opinion, works great. I had a coworker that works in my company's office down in West Virginia that earlier this week was talking about how she got an iPhone 10 and she was thinking about returning it. And I just overheard her telling somebody. And so of course I butted in and was like, what the heck are you talking about? And she's like, well, I don't know about this Face ID thing. It doesn't work good. It doesn't seem like it works in low light. And I was like, what in the heck are you talking about? It works amazing in low light, like literally because it's infrared, it doesn't need like visible light. So like I could be in my bedroom and I have like blackout curtains in my bedroom, so it's pitch dark in my bedroom. I could pick up my phone and Face ID works. The trick with it is that, and I saw her today and I forgot to tell her this, but I think the trick is if it doesn't work right away, I think what people do is they hold it closer to their face, which is not what you want to do.
Oh,
right. You gotta have it, you know, almost not an arm's length, but maybe at least half an arm's length or further from your face in order for it to work good. So that like the closer you hold it, the less chance of it working. But I think it's awesome. Like it, you know, in fact, it's so good that, I enabled a feature that I've always had turned off, which is Raise to Wake.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Cause with Raise to Wake, I mean, when the screen comes on and I just swipe up and boom, the phone is unlocked and ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. I have that feature turned off because mainly I just don't want it turning my
screen. Yeah. With the other phones, it's annoying.
Yeah.
But I think with the iPhone X, it makes perfect sense.
So,
you know, because if you don't have it on, you have to push the side button,
yes,
you know, to kind of activate everything. And
well, I thought with the iPhone X, all you had to do was touch the screen and it would come on, but it wouldn't unlock unless you actually picked it up to use Face ID.
I don't know.
That's how it was demoed anyway.
It could be. I'm not sure.
I think it's partially that tap the screens also if you just wanted to see notifications or check the time thing.
Yeah.
But it still only puts like the lock screen on with the notifications.
Well, if I could remember where Raise to Wake is in the settings, I'll turn it off and I'll try what you said. Nevertheless, I like Raise to Wake now, so
I've used it since it came out. I kind of like it, so I don't mind it.
So, you know, the phone is fast. I like the you know, it's got the same processors, the 8 and 8 Plus or whatever, and it seems pretty snappy. All the apps that have been optimized for the iPhone X are, you know, pretty good looking in my opinion. And a few of them even utilize the, like the ears on either side of the notch.
Yeah.
And, I'll give you an example of one, which would be the camera app Halide. So like when you have that app open, basically on the left side of the notch, you have a histogram, and it's like a very dynamic histogram, and it just constantly changes as you're, you know, adjusting your view or, you know, whatever you're looking at. It's, you know, a very, I'm trying to think of the words I'm looking for here. It's very like, up to date. That's not the word I'm looking for, but I'm just saying it's very accurate histogram. And then on the right side, the ear shows you your exposure value. So, you know, if you're at zero or plus or minus, you know, a stop or two or whatever it would be, it shows you that. So that's pretty, in my opinion, a cool use of those ears. So they don't waste any space, which is pretty cool. And, you know, as far as the camera goes and everything, I haven't had a whole lot of chance to play with that yet, which is driving me absolutely insane at the moment. but I did take a detour the other day, driving home from work, and I went through this state park that's kind of in the middle of Ohio called Mohican. And I stopped and took a few pictures. And I got to tell you, just from those pictures alone, I'm like insanely impressed. So like I pulled over at one point and I climbed up to the top of this fire tower, which was actually the scariest fire tower I've ever been in, by the way. It was like super windy out. I thought this thing was going to fall over. It was like swaying. It was crazy. In any case, I just took like some pictures of trees basically, and like zooming in, it's like incredibly sharp and detailed. Whereas like every iPhone that I've had before this, even the 6S Plus, when you zoomed in on the picture, it kind of looked like muddy and blurry, and, you know, it didn't look that great. It was kind of like, you know, looking at a picture small was really the best way to view the picture, you know, because then it looks sharp. But these photos are on a whole nother level.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I'm really pleased with it so far.
Nice. Yeah, I keep getting notifications. You can upgrade. And I'm like, yes.
One other thing, too. So I had been saying pretty much since these these phones were announced that I wasn't terribly excited about the fact that the iPhone X was physically smaller, even though it's the biggest screen size. I wanted a plus size phone that was all screen, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Next year.
I don't know if I want that anymore.
Oh.
Because this, so, you know, this phone's bigger than the 8, but smaller than the 8 Plus. But it, I have to admit, it does fit in my hand a lot better. It fits in my pocket a lot better. I still, you know, I always hear people talking about, like, reachability. And I guess it's just me, maybe. I'm not a one-handed phone user. Like, there's not really anything that I do with a phone where I need to, like, reach across the screen with my thumb or something like that. I have reachability turned on in case I need it for some reason, where, like, basically on the iPhone X, I can't even remember how it works, to be honest with you. I think you're supposed to, like, tap on the screen twice or something like that, and it, you know, it goes down halfway or whatever, so you could reach stuff that's normally at the top of the screen better. But I, like, never really use that, and I never use the phone one-handed. I'm always holding it in one hand and doing what I'm doing with the other hand, so that's not really a concern. But as far as just having it in my pocket and just the general feel of it, I thought that I was not going to like, you know, having something smaller, because I was really happy with the 6S Plus that I have, but this, it seems ideal to me.
Well, that's good. I never really wanted a bigger phone than what I have. You know, I have the 7. I don't want to go to a plus size. You know, I have not yet put a 10 in my hand, but I'm tempted now to go try it. I don't think I'll get it, but
well, I'll say this. I think for people that are, like, on the fence about the size, I think the 10 is, like, a good compromise in that it's only, like, a little bit bigger, you know, than the smaller phones. And the bonus is that you get the dual lens.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, no,
that is a plus.
Incredible.
Yeah.
In fact, all the photos that I posted, whenever that was, yesterday or the day before, were taken with the 2x zoom.
Oh, nice. No, I'm impressed. Because I didn't realize that. When I looked at those pictures, that one of that you took from the tower looking down at your car,
mm-hmm.
the detail, and, you know, you can see the texture in the road.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That's why my
mind boggling.
That's why my socks are, like, totally knocked off. Cause
yeah,
it's that And even that black and white one with all the trees, like the picture itself is just kind of like whatever. It's a bunch of trees.
Right.
I really just posted it because if you zoom in on it,
yeah,
I'm telling you, with my 6S Plus, that would have been just a muddled mess of nonsense.
Well, but, I'll be honest with you, with my 8 Plus, if I take a photo with the 2x lens, it's nowhere near that for two reasons. One, it doesn't have the same aperture, and two, it's not optically stabilized like the 10.
Yeah.
So those two things make a huge difference.
I do like your farm photo, the dirt road. I really like that one.
Thank you. Yeah, that was just like driving. I drove like past that dirt road and slammed on the brakes, threw it in reverse, backed into that dirt road, jumped out of the car, like snapped like two or three pictures, jumped back in my car and left because I didn't want like a farmer coming out and like shooting at me or something.
You iPhone photographer, you, I'm going to get you. Yeah.
One thing I'm really impressed with the shot from above with the with your car there is actually the reflection of the sky. I'm assuming it's a reflection of the sky on the roof of your car.
I think so.
Where you could almost see the clouds on the reflection on top of your car. I'm assuming that is, but.
I was impressed with the fact that it could be in the car. You can actually see the Mazda logo at the back.
Yeah. You're right, Dave. That is what that is. That is the reflection of the, which is a testament to how clean I keep my car. Also.
Well, I just liked your post.
You can see salt spray on the side.
Oh, that's cool. So, are you going to jump into Moment again with that?
Oh, yeah. So, that was actually the other cool thing that happened. So, yesterday I got an email from Moment saying that they got my two lenses I sent back, and they gave me the $25 credit for both of them.
Nice.
So, I have a $50 coupon code to use for Moment. So, yes, I will be getting the new wide angle lens and a case, obviously.
Matt in the chat asked if you're going to get the Moment battery case.
If they put one out for the 10, then yeah, I'd be interested in that. But at the moment, no pun intended there, but I think they only have just a regular thin case.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
What I was saying about a lot of people, right? Which I know we're in a transition year with iPhones, but I mean, I'm thinking 2018 will probably be the last year that Apple puts out a phone other than like the very base model that looks like a classic iPhone. And everything else going forward will be starting 2019. Everything will be the full screen look with or without rabbit ears. You know, if it actually gets to the point where they can say, we can put all this behind the screen instead of having the rabbit ears there. But this is going to be, you know, easy to kind of tell this is a newer phone just because of the way it looks versus, and I can hopefully see a lot more app developers like the Halide app developers using the rabbit ears, because Apple. I remember Apple putting out in their developer guidelines saying, "Don't hide the Apple ear. Don't hide them. Make, you know, use them." Where more and more people are actually using them for information, not just, you know, trying to either blend them in or just make it part of the background.
Yeah. Yeah, and not every app utilizes them, but I don't care, I guess. Like, I'm going to echo, I guess, what like a lot of people are saying about the notch and the ears is that like after a very short amount of time, you forget about it, and it's really not a distraction.
I'll agree with that, because when I was looking at one in a store, even though I couldn't pick it up to put it in landscape or anything, really I didn't notice the notch. And as far as not having a home button, I guess it's because I was reading up on these things and whatnot. It was so easy to use. So, I mean, I can see why you're enjoying it and you know, not having to, any trouble getting used to it. But yeah, like the notch, pretty much a non-issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I really have pretty much nothing bad to say. There's like one stupid thing that I don't like, and I knew this going into it. It wasn't like a surprise or anything, but you know how with the plus size phones, they kind of act like an iPad in terms of like when you rotate the phone into landscape mode, all the app icons, you know, rotate, and your little home bar is across the bottom or whatever. The 10 doesn't do that.
Oh, really?
Which, for some reason, that annoys me. But that's, you know, kind of a minor thing.
No, I could see that, because like in Mail Messenger, when you rotate it, it actually rotates the application itself and gives you kind of a two-pane look, which is nice.
Yeah, now, like, when you're in your apps, like, when you go into an app, it'll rotate. It's just when you're looking at, like, your home screen.
Right. Yeah. Well, I meant more of the, not just the rotate, but, like, I know for the Mail app, when I wrote, because with the Plus, when you rotate it horizontally, it gives you almost a two-pane look, where it gives you the message on one half, and the other half kind of gives you your inbox look. Mm-hmm. Where I think if you have the non-plus models, if you rotate it, you get a different view than if you have a plus model. Like you said, it acts more like the iPad, more like an iPad app than it does a straight iPhone app.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And like you said, I think with the 10, it acts more like the non-plus models in terms of how when things are rotated.
But do you get the split pane in once you're in the app, Matt?
Like in Mail?
Yeah.
No, it's basically just like
a list of the same emails. As like the regular size. Okay.
Yeah. But that doesn't bother me at all. Like I don't even remember what it looked like before when it was split. I don't even understand what. Oh, like it would have showed me on one half like all the emails I have, and the other half would have been like whichever email I had selected.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, now this is... Now I have this set up different, though, so I see, like, I have this set up to where each, like, preview of an email is 5 lines. So I see a significant amount of an email just in the preview. Yeah, I don't know. To me, it's fine. I mean, once I click on the email, the whole email is full screen, so it, I don't know, it's pretty good. I actually like that better than the split thing, okay, which actually, now that I think about it, that was one of the things I hated about Mail on the plus size phone, was that there was no way to make an email full screen.
So have you tried video with it?
Greg, do you know me at all? Of course I haven't. No, I haven't tried video yet. I will try video, especially with the holidays coming up and everything. I'm sure I'll have some reason to do that, but that has not been. I barely even got a chance to really take pictures with it yet, so video has not been a priority.
Got to break it in.
Okay, just to put a cap on the split screen email deal on the plus size phones, there is a way to see it full screen, the message.
Oh.
There's two arrows in the top left corner of the message.
Oh, part. Yeah. You're right. There is. Yeah. Anyway. I barely remember what it's like to have one of those old phones.
Oh, was he talking to us?
Yeah. I wasn't talking to anybody in particular.
Just so you know, Matt, mine's only a couple months old.
I know, I'm just messing with you guys.
Just for that, I'm going to play this.
I'm getting tingly.
Nice. Oh, was that a click? Did Matt just hang up?
No. I was practicing the old, if you don't have anything nice to say.
He had this.
Nothing! Absolutely nothing!
Well, that's cool. I can't wait to see what else you're going to discover or experience with this new iPhone. I think it's the iPhone for the right person has it. So, especially with the type of images you produce, I think they're pretty awesome.
You know, and I always thought of myself as a very patient guy, but you got a lot more patience than me to wait for that thing not only was the price too high for me, but I don't think I could have waited. If I could get it, I don't think I would have waited. But
I don't know. The waiting wasn't really a big deal, I guess. I mean, I was kind of wanting to have the 6S Plus that I had like fully paid off. And and then, you know, I basically went into my carrier's AT&T, and I just kind of went in there and finagled it so that my bill didn't really go up much getting this. So I think I have kind of a longer commitment with this phone, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So one last quick question. Have you had a chance to view anything that's HDR video, like any type of movie or anything, or was there any sample videos on it?
I don't think there's any sample videos, and I haven't specifically gotten a chance to do that yet. It's on my short list of things to do.
Because they always show Wonder Woman as the, you know, the HDR video that, you know, whenever they're advertising it or talking about
it. I gotta find some content that's HDR and 4K or whatever to check out on this. I mean, I even heard of someone that bumped their Netflix up to the 4K Netflix just to watch it on their iPhone, which I'm not about to do that. But
that's ridiculous.
But just judging from how amazing everything looks, like even just, you know, regular videos just look pretty sweet on this thing. So I go ahead.
Okay, and I know they have the new, I don't know if they can do this on the 8 Plus or not, about the 24 frames per second for video.
Yep.
Okay. So I figured that, and like you said, the HDR should make a huge difference in terms of the initial jaw-dropping impression of looking at it.
I think the only technical difference between the 8 Plus and the 10, as far as video goes, is the HDR part of it. I think everything else is the same.
Well, very cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to hijack the show just briefly, mainly because I have the soundboard and, I decided to. But I'm going to play this real quick.
News team! Assemble!
All right, I just put in the R message one thing, but let me say this first. What is it? iOS 11.2.1 just appeared on my phone, so there's an update for the iOS. But something has come to our attention, that is interesting. I have two articles here. One is iMore, and it says, "The why Apple slows down old iPhones to save your battery," which is interesting. It says, "Is your older iPhone feeling slow? Weirdly, it's a feature, not a bug." And then I have another article, 9 to 5 Mac. It says, "Apple faces first class action lawsuit after confirming it slows down older iPhones with battery wear." So I thought we need to briefly talk about this and, you know, and get our, I guess, opinions out, because this is interesting. Because I think, you know, I've always noticed that whenever a new, you know, device comes out, the older ones seem to go slower than normal. And apparently Apple has not only admitted it, but they have a reason why, which I kind of think is BS. Let's see here. So let's see here. Let me pull out some, well, okay. So basically Apple has admitted that they are slowing down older devices, and the reason why is to save your battery, which I have to say is bull crap, because
by that they mean give you longer battery life,
right?
Like between charges, right?
That's what I believe.
Yes.
See, I read it a little bit differently. I thought it was more of a matter of if you haven't. First of all, you would have to have an older device with an older battery. And if the battery was getting to the point where it, you know, more than a couple years old, it may not be in good enough shape where it could handle, you know, the spike that some of the newer apps take per Apple. And this is all per Apple saying, right. Well, this is going to spike your battery, and to protect the battery, because it's an older battery, the operating system will either shut down or may crash. So in order to keep the battery from having issues, at least an older battery, it'll throttle down your speed. And that'll prevent the battery from even getting close to being overdone.
Well, okay. So I have a hard time believing that, mainly because what my 4S, I had battery issues, and I don't recall there, you know, how do I say this? All right. I replaced my own battery, and there was no change in speeds that I noticed from the old battery to the new battery. The old battery had a very short lifespan. It got to the point where it was pathetic. And Matt was with me when, especially when it was cold, and that phone would just shut down. But there was no like increase in speed once I changed the battery. It just seems a little far-fetched, but, it is kind of confirmed what some of us have thought is this, you know, whenever we get a new iPhone, man, it was like always faster than the, you know, previous model by design. But even the older the older models, they felt like they were slowing down, and that certain normal features were taking longer, and it could be that the new iOS's were basically too much for those to handle, but at the same time, they create each of the operating systems to be able to work with those devices. I don't know. Matt, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm going to be honest, Joe. I kind of agree with you. I mean, I listened to the Daily Tech News show, and I listened to Tom Merritt this morning, or I guess it was on yesterday's show, but I listened to it today, explain this, and he explained it the way that Dave explained it, and it makes sense. And I love Tom Merritt, respect him, love him, he's awesome, but yeah. I don't know if I believe that reason. I think that it's a plausible reason. It sounds like it could be true, but that kind of makes me even more suspicious. You know, some of the phones that this is happening to, it's you know, iPhone 6s and stuff like that. It's not like they're super old, and so I just don't believe that the batteries in those phones can't handle, you know, a bunch of apps from today.
Yeah, and so, you know, my experience was I was always two versions behind. I never had the current version up until the iPhone 6. So I had the 3GS, the 4S, and then I went from the 4S to the 6. I completely bypassed the 5s and went straight to the 6. You know, I did get a 5C and a 4 for my work phones. So I do have, you know, that kind of comparison. But even a couple years behind, it was fine. It worked great. There was no issues. But, well, you know, after a little bit of time, it was like, it's like, why does this thing feel like it's slowing down? It should be the same. Even sometimes when you didn't even change operating systems, you know, and some of my, like my work phone, I'm still using an operating system from, probably almost 2 years ago. It's just, there was, once the new operating system came out and I saw guys that were having troubles with their phones using a specific app that we need, I said, I'm not touching it. And, you know, that phone operates kind of the same. I have no issues with it. And I'm afraid that if I go to the latest version of the iOS, that all of a sudden things are going to work slower, or certain apps that I rely on aren't going to work. So, So, all right. So they have according to 9to5Mac, the Chicago Sun-Times reported that Apple is now facing a second lawsuit over deceptive, immoral, and unethical tactics of slowing older iPhones. Whenever something like this happens, you know there's going to be some sort of a lawsuit. The question is it going to affect Apple? No. Are we going to get anything out of it? Probably not. You know, the lawyers are going to make out, but it's now, I guess they're doing this to get Apple to quit with the practice of slowing them down.
I think, like, let's pretend that the reason behind this, like, throttling, if you want to call it that, is true. I think what they should have done is let everybody know, you know, that could happen, and then also implement it in a way where you could opt out of it doing that.
Sure. Oh, or
like if you're going to call it a feature, then make it like a toggle where you could turn it on or off.
Yeah.
Because it's not really a feature if you're forcing it on someone and not telling them.
Yeah, make it like low power mode where, you know, or make it where if it is truly a matter of protecting the phone from itself, if you will, if it is a true you know, yes, your battery is old and it's degrading and you have an older phone, but say, oh, we're putting this into low power mode. You can turn this off, but you run a higher risk of the phone crashing.
Okay, let's go into pretend mode again. Let's pretend that Apple is concerned about us and our battery life. You know, Apple and Samsung and, you know, we'll throw in BlackBerry. All these manufacturers want to sell you the latest and greatest. They don't want these things to last forever. You know, they want people to buy the new one. If they were truly concerned about battery life, which I don't think they truly are, I can see this as being legitimate. But part of me thinks that, no, this is part of their little scheme to get us to buy the latest and greatest because it's newer, it's faster, you know, you got to have it. If they had just let people's phones actually be used the way they are, the battery lives would take its normal course. You know, they could have bypassed all this nonsense because people would say, you know what, my battery's about to, you know, to go out. Instead of replacing it, which is, you know, you basically have to take it to a shop to have it replaced, why not get the latest one? You know, it just, it doesn't make any sense. And my BS radar is going off.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you, Joe. It's like the first time I've ever.
I'm more article.
Sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say the iMore article has a statement right from Apple on this.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys read it?
No, because it's all lies.
Well, see, I generally like what they read, but they almost say nothing negative about Apple. So it's one of those things of I don't. It's not a matter of I don't trust iMore. I just know that Apple has to do something really bad for them to put out something negative. Now, I'll also say that when I had my battery replaced on my phone a month ago or so, I did notice a speed increase. So by getting an old battery where I was getting the warning saying the battery needed to be replaced, I know that the phone was 2.5 years old, so it was, you know, I know batteries have a limited amount of charges in them anyway. When I got a new battery put into it, it felt peppier. And that was before I knew about the, you know, Apple doing this slowing down because of saving battery life or trying to prevent crashes. So it definitely does make a difference by putting a new battery in. And I went to, like I said, I didn't trust not that I don't think third-party repairers are a bad thing, but I went to the Apple store instead. And it was literally maybe an hour and a half maybe, from when I dropped off the phone, from when I picked it up. And it cost $75 at the Apple store. So it allowed me to stretch the amount of months that I can actually use this phone out a couple extra months. So for me, that was cost effective.
Well, battery technology is what it is. And I think it's getting better as the years go by. But I'm kind of leaning on the other side of the fence than what you guys are, I think, because for me, I would rather have, I would rather have a phone that's going to last even 8 hours a day and maybe be a little slower at what it's doing than have it run full speed and last 2 hours.
Yeah. I see. I always carry around some sort of a battery backup supply, you know, to be able to recharge my phone. That's my normal it doesn't matter if it's brand new or if it's a really old device. You know, I don't typically, you know, I can go the whole day up to like down to 50 to 30%. And that's using it all the time. But yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see what's going to happen, what's going to change, if they're just going to say, oh, we're just going to continue doing this and not give us the option. I don't think I like that. If they continue to do it and then give us an option to opt in or out, then I'm all for it. But I imagine there's going to be people that are going to be monitoring this like hawks. You know, they're going to take their stopwatch out. They're going to, you know, how long does it take to fire up this app? How long does it, you know, take to, you know, do the normal functions that they normally do? And they're going to sit there and say, oh, they're starting to slow down. And, you know, if a phone takes its normal course, getting people to replace them would be more natural. But when you start to force slowdowns, people start to notice, they're going to start to hate the product. Now there's some of us that, you know, we're diehard. We stick with the iPhone basically for the, not only for the muscle memory, but also for the app, ecosystem. Thank you. Yeah. The app ecosystem. And, you know, it would take something really drastic for us to say, you know what, I quit Apple. Now, there's other people that they change from Apple to Android like they change their socks. You know, they look at their phone and goes, this stinks, let's change it. Oh, this stinks again, let's change it back. You know, they're never going to be happy. They're always going to, you know, be jumping around, you know. But when you do things like this, and then I just have a hard time grasping that they're wanting to do this to save our battery life. You know, batteries are going to go no matter what. If a battery's going to go, it'll go. Slowing down the phone, it really isn't going to help the situation.
Just trust them, Joe.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think they're going to continue to do it. They're transparent about it now. Whether it's true or false, that's up in the air, I guess. But I saw an interview with Craig Federighi about it was during WWDC back in the summer, and John Gruber was interviewing him and Phil Schiller, and they talked about the update to the Apple file system.
Uh-huh.
And not too many people likely know this. I mean, it's public knowledge, but still not too many people likely know about this. But have you ever noticed that the update, maybe one or two updates prior to actually going to 10.2, where the Apple file system was put out, it took a long time for that update to happen. And what they were doing was they were updating everybody's phone to the Apple file system, running diagnostics, getting the information back, and then taking that off and putting the 10.1 point whatever back on it again, all while you're seeing the Apple logo and the line going across the screen.
Really?
yeah, it was taking like 45 minutes to happen. It was an excruciatingly long update that nobody realized that they were actually taking a chance at bricking millions and millions of iPhones out there. And Federighi just kind of, he said, thank God it worked, you know?
Oh, jeez.
that's something you don't want to hear.
No, you don't want to hear. But he said that they had to test it to see if it was going to work. And they, all the diagnostics that they got back, they looked at that and, you know, they used whatever they had to use to make any repairs to the system or whatever, I guess. But that was something that they did, and nobody knew it.
Well, I guess we'll continue to monitor what's going on over the next few weeks or months, and go from there. But yeah, these two articles just came out today, and I didn't know about it until I kind of swiped over, and right there in my news feed was the Apple lawsuit, and so I. You know, just I was like, huh. And when I saw that, and I was like, my radar is going off, and you know, so we'll see. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move into our post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right. So let's see here. What is our weekly photo challenge right now? My brain just quit on me.
Best pick of 2017.
All right. That's what I thought. I almost said lights, but we did that already. So our weekly photo challenge right now is the best pick, and I already have one that I'm going to post. Your best pick of 2017, and that is continuing on till after Christmas, till the 28th. So you have time to join us. But in the meantime, we're going to go to the well, which is our Tiny Shutter hashtag. And Dave, it's your turn. So take it away.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Yeah. And again, always so many great picks. Not only for the best pick of the year, but just people going out and just taking photos that aren't part of the post pick of the week for the group and the Instagram, the hashtag Tiny Shutter. This is actually one relatively recent one, and I think it was by Kim Captures, she goes by.
Yep.
It's at Rockefeller Center, but it's not the normal touristy shot that you would see. And you would instantly know it's Rockefeller Center. It's of the lights, and the lights dominate so much that there's not really any background shown. So it's pretty much just the lights and wonderfully symmetric how they're set up there. And yeah. it's just so eye-catching.
I'm looking at it, and for me, it almost feels like it's one-dimensional. And it's, I mean, it is very symmetrical. I mean, there's a few things that aren't, but for the most part, I think I would have set this up the same way. I would not have changed anything, but I love the colors. I love, looks like, it almost looks like angels down at the bottom, but I can't quite tell or make out what they are.
Yeah.
But I like it. It's very, very busy, very colorful, and eye-catching.
What I like about it is the detail, because this was taken with an iPhone 10.
Oh, wow.
And you could almost see the individual bulbs in the darn thing. Like, I mean, Kim did a fantastic job of capturing the detail in this thing. And I would like to know, I'm going to ask her which lens she used to do this, because it's just amazing.
Yeah. Can you see it, Matt?
Yeah, okay. I can.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I like every picture that will ever be taken.
I believe that.
Now, it is very impressively detailed for, you know, a picture from an iPhone, without a doubt. So, yeah, I like it a lot. It's a pretty cool light display. I never in a million years would have guessed that this is Rockefeller Center. I'm sure they change up their lights every so often, but I've been there at Christmas time. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, it's very cool. Well, congratulations, Kim. You are post pick of the week. If you want to be featured as post pick of the week, go on to our Facebook group and look for our weekly photo challenge. Also, go on to Instagram and use the hashtag TinyShutter. And so, yep, we have one more week left with your favorite picks of 2017. And then we'll be into the new year. Man, I can't believe that's happening. Seems like yesterday we're saying, oh, 2016's over. We're about to start with 2017. Oh, so, all right. Well, let me bring back the bells and let's end the show. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to bring up?
I think we're, at least from my end, sounds good.
All right. Well, let me play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Oh, here. Barely.
Barely.
All right. let's start with you, Matt. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right. You can check me out on Instagram, Twitter, and I am at M. Hoffman Photo.
Very good. Greg, tell everybody where they can find you.
On Instagram, I am at shot on what is it now? At excuse me. Shot on iPhone only. And I get confused because on Twitter it's at shot on an iPhone.
Oh, okay.
We're all confused too, right?
Yeah.
Very good. Dave, tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure, you can find me on Instagram and Mission Pick as ProfPod.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find links to our show notes, links to Facebook and YouTube by going to tinyshutter.com. Well, gentlemen, I want to be the first to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We have Christmas coming up not only Saturday, but also on Monday. So let the festivities and the craziness begin. But I'm you know, very thankful for you guys and what you guys are have been doing. And this is, you know, this is always a fun time of the year. And, you know, getting down to the nitty gritty, I can't believe this year, like I said, I can't believe this is all, you know, transpired so quickly. These years are going by too fast. But all right. Well, thank you, everyone, for being with us, and we will see you guys next week. All right, gentlemen, say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
All right, we'll see you later.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
I thought you were dead.
Oh, no, I told you. Well, I fibbed a little bit, but don't be mad.